Welcome back to Artists on Artists on Artists on Artists. Boy, do we have a panel for you today.
The industry's screenwriting experts.
A panel of new voices in Hollywood.
The costumes are a character.
Fuck, marry, kill. Wide shot, two shot, close up.
This is
Artists
on Artists.
On Artists.
On Artists.
Do you know why they call it show business? I always wondered that.
Welcome back to Artists on Artists on Artists on Artists. Today, we take a little field trip to Flavortown. That's right. We've got four of the best field producers of Guy Fieri's Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Guy Fieri is known for showing you some of the greatest restaurants in the country. But who finds the restaurants and shows them to him? That's where these guys and girls come in.
So get out your barbecue wipes and let's listen in.
I want to see this hash brown place first tomorrow.
Is that Bobby's hash or Michigan hash?
It's Michigan hash with the hash brown casserole.
Okay.
I think we need that for episode one of season two.
Is that going to clash with the potato farm? Because the potato farm guys are really, really intent on shooting on Thursday, and they're mom and pop. I'm shocked at how angry they are, honestly.
I cannot believe you guys are talking about food right now after that meal we just ate.
Come on.
It wasn't that
bad. I'm absolutely stuffed.
It wasn't that bad.
This is why we call you Mousy.
I know. Why? Because I have a small stomach?
Yeah, you talk like that.
Hey, why did you... You don't have to call me out like that just because we have microphones. It feels like you... Every time that we're in some sort of place where you're more public, you're mean to me.
Shut up. Let's introduce ourselves.
All right, yeah, for the listeners at home, we are the field producers of Guy Fieri's Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, and we're taking you on the road with us to show you what it's like in a day of a life of our job. So I'm Kendra Matthews.
How long have you been working for Guy?
I've been working for Guy 8 years. 8 years, 10 seasons, and a decade of fun. 2 years were a different thing. That would just in more of a friend capacity. But the final 8 years of the decade of Guy Fieri, that was a professional capacity.
You're
I was a field producer.
You're counting it as the decade.
I'm counting it. I'm rounding up, baby. We're a happy crew.
We are.
What's up, folks? I'm Johnny Pastrami. And I've been working for Guy for about 6 years. I started working for Giada. And Guy swooped me up, and I've been on the road with these motherfuckers ever since.
What was your last name when you were working for Giada? Because I know you picked up Pastrami when you were working for
Guy.
Yeah,
I was John Smith at the time.
You were John.
And then I met Guy, and he said, "You're Johnny Pastrami."
I remember he took one look at you, and he said, "Johnny Pastrami."
He does that, yeah.
That's I think Guy's it was because I had a piece of pastrami hanging out of my mouth.
Always do.
I'm a sloppy boy like that.
Yeah.
All right, Mouse.
You are a sloppy boy.
Yeah. Mousy boy.
Hit it, Mousy.
My name is Cedric James Williams Ford III.
No, tell him what we call you.
Mousy. You guys call me Mousy.
You dirty little mouse.
I know. I've been working
dirty,
for...
Dirty, yucky little rat.
Hey, guys, please stop
you being moldy little mouse.
Guys, stop being
How do they
mean
let
me.
A mouse get a driver's license,
guys,
huh?
Stop being mean to me. I'll
hey,
turn...
can I put a mouse hey. Through a car wash? Because hey. He needs it.
Hey, I am not stinky. I'm just covered in gravy from the meal. Listen, I have been working for Guy Fieri. I'm the only one who says his name correctly. Everyone actively chooses not to here as some sort of stick it to the man kind of mentality, which I am into. I've been working for Guy Fieri for going on 7 years now. But it's been 10 years of fun. I've been friends with him for 3. So Kendra's got a little bit.
10 years of fun.
A decade of fun. It's been a decade of fun.
Man, I can't believe our decades have lined up almost exactly.
It's such a funny thing with Guy. It's the only kind of person where you have a work anniversary and you have a friend anniversary.
Yes.
He makes friends with everybody and he hires his friends. He says, "I only hire friends." which I think is really awesome. And so
once
you start becoming friends, he goes, you're on the list. And when there's an opening, we'll fill you in, but you are my friend. So it's a really nice way to get in to work for him. He actually picked me up at a diner. Yeah, you guys don't know this?
No way.
I was working at Skitty's in Traverse City, Michigan. And I served him a potato hash that he honestly couldn't take. And he said, I need you on my side. So it's been
I love that
harmony
story.
Ever since.
Okay, Clam Chowder, your turn.
What's up? My name is Clam Chowder. What's up? My name is Clam Chowder.
Okay, Clammy, speak up. I can't hear you.
What's up? My name is Clam Chowder.
Clammy, talk the other way. You're talking right into my face.
I'm sorry. I can't do this right. I've been working for Guy. It's been a decade of fun. And 2 decades of eating. I've been working for Guy for 20-odd years now, and I'm the guy who eats.
But only one of those decades has been fun.
I'll tell you one thing. The first decade was work.
Wow. That's the opposite for me.
Well, I love food, and for the first decade, Guy wouldn't let me get my little hands on him. But now, the second decade, he's let me dine in with him every frickin' meal.
Yeah, Cliff Chowder's the taster. You know, he eats everything before Guy does. There's a lot of freaks out there that want to take Guy down.
It's one, to check if it's poisoned, and 2, to check if it's palatable.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, sometimes poisoned, always palatable, baby.
Wow.
Yeah,
we never try, because I guess we could talk about our different roles as field producers.
Yeah,
sure.
Because I'm more in the, like, scheduling, coordinating, like, dealing with the, you know, restaurant owners, people like
emails,
that, location, stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm transpo. I handle a lot of the coordination back and forth and making sure there's parking and making sure that we can load in and load out at the right times.
I handle Guy's personals. I take care of his wallet, his family, his phone. I
less of a field producer,
more of a
PA.
Personal assistant.
No, get the fuck off me, Clam Chowder. You smell.
I'm razzing you. I'm razzing
you. No, I handle him from a personal producing sense. If he has to do outside jobs, I usually coordinate with production, and we work together. I get his son on. I'll coordinate. We have his son on every couple episodes. He's a good guy.
Great guy.
Yeah. I wish we'd just bring him on for every episode. I don't know why Guy keeps doing every other.
He pushes him away lovingly, you know? And I do the food. I produce and field the food.
And what he means by that is we scout the locations. We coordinate with everybody. We find the best diners, drive-ins, and dives. And then we sit Clam Chowder down at a table. He sits silently while the chef of the establishment places a bit of food in front of him.
Yeah.
And he gives the meanest look I've ever seen to every small business owner as he slowly takes a bite of food from every part. And he doesn't reveal what he's going to say until the very end.
And can I just say, I mean, we're talking about, you know, sometimes Clam Chowder has been poisoned. I don't think I've ever met anyone in my life who's changed more before my very eyes.
These last 20 years, let me tell you, a decade of fun.
I feel like
a decade of change.
I feel like
you're living in the fun, but there was clearly a decade of work and change.
I feel like I've met 7 different people and they've all been Clam Chowder. You guys know what I mean?
You're probably wondering why we don't have Guy in our car.
Right.
Well, Guy and Clam can't travel in the same thing. It's like the queen and her prince.
Well, it's also like a
queen and a prince situation.
Like you can't have too many distinguished members of the political government in one room because what if it gets bombed?
Exactly.
Right?
So
you have to have one guy sit out of every state of the union address.
Trying to take Guy's plane down constantly.
Every restaurant in the world. If we took Clam out of this show, Guy's got nowhere to go.
I know every.
If it was up to Mousy, we'd be sending Guy to the freaking food court at the Northridge Mall.
Hey, don't say that, man. You're being so mean to me today.
Speaking of Clam Chowder's 7 different personalities, does anyone remember his Baroque era?
That was a fun era. Wild.
That was, I loved
dancing
all the
dancing around like a little French prince.
It was fun.
It was 2005.
Where did you find that shirt with all those archways in it?
I found it in a mall in Santa Fe. A little artist said this would be great on you, so I put it on. Didn't take it off for 3 years.
Yeah. One of my favorite clam chowder periods was the blue period.
Oh, that was really, that was controversial.
That was sad as hell.
I didn't quite get it. I didn't quite get that period.
I didn't
period.
Get it. It seemed like a reaction to his Dadaist period.
Well, nobody got my Dadaist period, so I went all blue.
Hey, I got it. I got it. I got it.
Well, it felt
I
like
was
nobody
in.
Got it. You know?
I'll tell you which period I liked the most of his. It was his 50s period.
That was wild.
That was just kind of happy days. It was really
fun.
Yeah,
you get into the car all sock hop-like. And
that was fun.
There you go.
That was a different life. Let me tell you that. A different life for
yeah,
old
Clam.
Yeah,
but you've been locked into this personality for what? A decade of fun?
Yeah, this has been Clam for the last decade. Yeah. I went through 6 different iterations in 10 years and landed on this.
Oh, and we love you like this.
No. We're a family at this show, and that's what makes us so good because we travel so much.
Yeah,
you know?
I want to bring something up because people always get a little disappointed when we bring up that we like to try a lot of the restaurants before Guy comes in. They say, I thought Guy found these. You know, I just wanted to address that. You know, it takes a village to raise a child, and this show is our child. You know, sometimes we got to try places, and you should see all the places we go to.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah.
They just
don't make the cut.
Oh, ugh. So many.
Because here's the thing. What people don't know is that it started out with Guy when he pitched the show to the networks. It was his selects, but at some point the beast got bigger than himself. This show, we got to coordinate where to fly and where to send our camera crew.
Guy was choosing it for the first 4 seasons.
Yeah,
we
pre-decade
all joined.
Of fun.
I mean, pre-decade of fun. I was working as his wife's assistant at that time.
Yeah, girl Fieri.
Girl Fieri.
I think girl's incredible.
Girl Fieri was so hot.
Was.
She doesn't
was.
Like that we call her that, by the way. She does not like that we call her that.
No, her name is Jessica. But we're a family. We razz each other.
We razz.
But, you know, and it's true. There are a lot of places that haven't made the cut over the years that we've tried, and for one reason or another, they just haven't worked out. What are people's, like, what are our worst, like, didn't make the cut? Diners, drive-ins, and dives.
Oh, jeez.
Well, it's a vicious kind of line, right? Because because you eat somewhere that's a diner, a drive-in, or a dive. So outside it looks bad, and on the inside usually it is bad. That's why this show is so special, because you go to places that you say this looks like shit.
It's a diamond
it's
in the rough.
Good.
Yeah,
because
so
a lot of the time
of roughs
it's
in the rough.
Not false advertising. A lot of these places taste like shit, and you shouldn't eat there.
What you're seeing in the show is the one diamond. So think, for every good diamond, we got a lot of rough.
We got a lot.
You
got
to have, there's 99 restaurants that give you diarrhea, but it just takes that one restaurant
that one doesn't. And you know what? I do think that this show is complicit in a problem.
Let's talk
about it.
Here she goes.
Where you walk by a restaurant with super dilapidated wood, everything's peeling off, it's dirty, there's a B code health rating on the front, and you think to yourself, wow, this has got to be good. I feel like I want to set the record straight. It's normally not. It's normally a risk.
This is what keeps me up at night, too. I get nervous that we're part of the problem and we're causing the problem, right? Makes me really nervous. It's like gambling. It really is. How close can you get to looking bad and being good at the same
time?
Still
being good.
And I'll tell you, but it makes me feel better that we are on the front lines.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, one of us is gets food poisoning once a month.
It's like, usually Clam.
And every
every
car we drive, we got jumper cables in the back and 3 boxes of Tums.
We do.
I go through 30 boxes of Tums weekly. Yeah. I'm addicted to that shit. It gets me through most meals.
Easy, Clam.
Easy, Clam. We got to wean you off this stuff.
I'd have to say my biggest fail in recommending and pitching a restaurant for the show, I really wanted to try this this spam restaurant, and they made spam.
Oh,
they made fresh spam.
They fried the spam.
I remember that. We walked in, and I said, "Oh, you like Hawaii?" And they said, "What's Hawaii?" I said, "Oh, we're in trouble here."
Yeah, I think it was on the corner of Alabama.
Yeah,
the corner of Alabama.
One of those corners.
The state of the whole state
it's
of
really
Alabama.
Really sharp when you get down there. That's what they don't tell you.
That spam for 4 weeks after that.
Yeah, I felt so bad. Clam almost had to be hospitalized. You wouldn't stop.
But I'll tell you once. I'll tell you a million times. I ain't never going to the hospital.
That is a vow that he's made, and he's actually presented us all with, you know, paperwork that says that says we can't take it to the hospital.
I signed a DNR for you the other day, didn't I?
Yeah.
You said we all have power of resuscitate.
We all got to go down, leave me be.
I don't know why we have to sign those.
Legally, you have to sign those.
Why do we have to sign those?
It should have been you signing it now that I think about it.
I just sign them. I don't ask questions.
Why did I sign your DNR?
How it should be done.
I'll tell you guys, there was one restaurant I feel like my big flop. I tried to get us to shoot in the Des Moines courthouse. I had heard that there was a really delicious breakfast burrito in the basement, and it turns out that was just a vicious trick by my wife to get me into a custody hearing.
I remember that. That was tough.
That
yeah,
was really
that
frustrating.
Was a tough
the
day.
Whole crew is there
that
filming
was
you go
really
through the deposition.
God, was that
we didn't scout that place ahead of time. We remember we were like, that sounds really cool. I bet it's fine. Let's just go anyway. Yeah. Send everybody.
Crazy. It was
it
really
was tough
crazy.
For me because I was just so hungry at that time.
I'll tell you, your wife's mousie is a snake.
Yeah.
It's a snake to a mouse situation. She gobbled you up.
And that's the opposites attract. I think that's why I loved her. And I still love her.
Mousy,
love her.
No, man.
I love
her. No, you just want to get Baby. Gobbled.
I love her.
You're such a little fucking shit.
Hey, man. You were so nice to me earlier. You were so nice to me. You gave me $25 and just said, go have a nice, grab some
so
sort
nice.
Of nice
Did you
sandwich.
Do that?
No.
Johnny Pastrami, okay. Why are you such an asshole when the cameras are on, my guy? Anyways.
I remember my biggest fail as a field producer for this thing. I remember taking a gamble on this place called Dumpster Dive.
Oh,
and
famous dumpster.
It was apparently run by that fisherman. Fisherman turned, you know, a shrimp cook.
Yeah,
and
that fisherman.
We cannot say his name. If we
and
say
we won't.
He's like Beetlejuice. If you bring him up, he'll show up. He'll be at the next place if we say that fisherman's
he'll
name.
He'll show up. I literally start burping shrimp every time I say his name. Doesn't matter when I've eaten it. But it turns out he was cooking out of an actual dumpster, and it was not good. It was not good. I thought it was a turn of phrase. Usually it normally is, but
that
no.
That man, he sets things that are literally like bear traps for us. Like several restaurants, we've shown up, you know, usually when it has something like dive in the name or drive-in or diner, we'll show up and that fisherman is there. And we always know we're going to be fucked. And Clam, you get the brunt of it.
Oh, God. And boy, did I get the brunt of that.
Yeah, we should stop getting tricked by this one fisherman.
I got
him. He keeps creating these really real-looking email signatures.
Crazy.
From all these different accounts.
Show up, and then I got a plate of scraps and garbage right there.
He's like a little fucking leprechaun.
He buys the websites, too. I mean, they're never Gmail.
It's just domain after domain.
I remember the last time we saw him, we almost lost Sun Fieri.
Son. No, you reject a fisherman one time from a reality TV show, and you will never hear the end of it.
It's crazy.
I swear to God.
It's really crazy, man.
I feel like one of my biggest flops maybe have been that little mining town in Colorado Rockies. You guys, it was before your time, I think, and just showed up. It turned out to be a crack den.
Oh, yeah. That was in Silverthorne, right?
Silverthorne, yeah.
You know, I'll tell you, one of our flop episodes on a whole was when...
Let's talk about worst episode.
Yeah.
Okay, let's bring it up. I mean, let's mention
we
it. We
chose,
don't have
was
about.
It Guy? Who was the one that said we should film and still go out the day after 9/11?
That was Kendra.
Kendra. Yeah, that was me.
It was just wrong.
You were dealing with something. It felt like you were trying to deny reality at that
Where
time.
Where were we? I think it was Michigan.
Yeah,
it was 9/12 in Michigan.
Everybody in my family, we push through. If something bad happens, you go to work the next day. That's what I've always believed. Yeah. That happened when Papa passed away, when Meemaw passed away. We get right back on the farm, and we get plowing.
It just felt wrong for Guy to be having a cheeseburger smoothie the day after 9/11.
And I acknowledge that now. I think it was a little soon. And the food we gave him was a little too insane to, in contrast with the buildings falling down. I do regret that. So I do want to go on record and apologize.
It was just
that.
Embarrassing for him to try to shoehorn 9/11 into that too.
Because he did have to apologize. He did have to dedicate the cheeseburger
Awful.
Smoothie to the victims, Awful. which
was an insult.
And I remember he said, "We want to do this like SNL. We want to like have someone play the piano and then he eats this cheeseburger."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it is
that
thing, you know.
That classic episode of SNL,
you know,
post
9/11. No, they did it. They did it years later. We were
when
really
Hillary
ahead of
Clinton
our time.
Lost.
We were ahead of our time. That's all I'll say. They ripped that. They stole that from me.
Yeah.
I submitted a packet. 9/10.
You submitted an SNL packet.
I submitted an SNL packet. 5 sketches, 2 topical.
Kendra
on 9/10/2000.
Wow, I didn't know that.
I submitted a packet, and what do you know? 20 years later,
an absolute decade
Kate
of fun
McKinnon.
Though.
2 decades of fun later.
You know, sometimes when you say decade loosely in this,
yeah,
car,
decade's not a
with guy.
Term.
But didn't Billy Joel play it after 9/11?
I believe it was Paul Simon.
Paul Simon. Thank
you. Well, either way, they stole from me because I had a hilarious sketch, the second sketch of my packet. It was Will Ferrell. He was supposed to be dressed up in a rat costume,
okay.
And he was playing piano, and he wouldn't stop playing piano. That was the whole gag.
That's a good sketch.
Kendra, I can't believe it. I didn't know you were a writer.
Listen, I had a whole life before my decade of fun.
The only thing I've seen you write are Excel sheets talking about fries.
And that's what I'm good
and
at.
And when Kendra lists fries, you know we're getting somewhere.
But also, they're really funny. Those Excel sheets are so funny.
Yeah, I make funny names for all the fries.
I love that.
It's a way
and
of
you always send them out on Friday.
My old life with my new life.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Wow, look at that one. Look. Whoa. Look at this perfect dive.
Oh, I don't know. That's really bouncing on the line. Do you see the vent? There's a lot of smoke coming out. That indicates to me that they're not cleaning the grill.
That could be bad.
Oh, that's
good.
True.
But Guy loves a greasy, dirty grill.
Well, let's talk about this, too. Speaking of grills, you know, when we're looking at locations, the go-behind is really important, right? Because he joins the chef in the kitchen. He sees how it's made. And we've gone in, and it's really hard when you want to go to a place that is nothing special but has an amazing meal. Yeah. Sometimes those kitchens are a horror show.
Let me tell you, after trying food and then walking back to see how it was made, almost worse than most of the food sometimes.
Yeah, it makes it
absolutely disgusting.
Do you remember when we went to that wing shop?
The best wings I've ever had.
It was a wing shop in South Florida. Yeah. And the going back there was so rancid and shit that we I remember, it was your idea, Kendra. We filmed him eating outside. And then when he went back in the kitchen, we went to an Olive Garden down the street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we had him cook the wings in the Olive Garden.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't even fit a camera back.
Because I'll tell you what, you don't want to know what most restaurant kitchens look like.
You
it
do
will
not.
Destroy your faith in the fabric of society.
You do
destroy
not.
Mine.
You won't want to eat anything
you
ever
know,
again.
I have a lot of friends who work on the Kitchen Nightmares location scouts.
Good guys over there.
Good really
guys.
Good guys. Good and guys they lose. They lose them. Good they drop guys. Like flies. They make huge, huge, huge life decisions, or they get committed, or, you know, it drives them mad, you know, because that's the kind of stuff that, you know, we are going to find good restaurants that look like shit. They're going to find bad restaurants that look like shit. You know,
we
sometimes
should tell them some.
I don't want to. Do you, Clammy, do you know their taste tester?
Oh, yeah. That's pork chop.
Oh, good guy.
Good guy, good guy. We served together.
What did you serve?
Serve food.
Oh, I thought you served in a war.
No, no. We both worked at Boca de Beppo in 94.
Well, thank you for your service. Awesome.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
At Boca.
Brings up
we got a diner.
Oh, look at this.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, it's a Johnny Rockets.
Oh, I've been tricked like that before.
Oh, I keep getting fooled. Because sometimes they make them, you know, when a corporation makes one of their chains look a little different from the rest of them?
Oh, yeah.
Like
bitches,
a unique McDonald's.
When they make them look vintage.
Yeah.
And they throw us off our game.
Kendra, I remember that happened to you that one time. You brought it all the way to the top. You said, "Guy, there's this amazing place you got to go." And it ended up being a Bubba Gump.
Yes.
And you never leaked.
That whole episode was accidentally
tricked.
Four Bubba Gumps.
It was just Bubba Gump after Bubba Gump after Bubba Gump.
Or that time after. The episode after, we went into a diner that was supposed to have really good French toast, and it was a Forever 21.
It was a Forever 21, and
no toast to be found. I was eating a blouse.
No.
But that,
we had to tell
Could I just say
this straight? Because there was an employee who always had French toast on her breaks, and somehow through an elaborate game of telephone, that got miscommunicated to me by several locals.
Could I just say, a guy never backs out of a shoot, and I love him for that. He'll show up. He went through that Forever 21, and he cut those pants with a knife like a trooper. And I respect him because he never dresses us down in front of any sort of staff. He always saves that for when we're alone.
Yeah.
Which is why none of us want to be alone with him, to be honest.
No.
Hey,
no.
Speaking of staff, we should give a shout out to another great person on our show, yeah. Tippy, head of wardrobe.
Oh, we love Tippy.
Tippy
is
she
awesome.
She has three outfits she puts Guy in.
And God, are they incredible.
Can I say, Tippy, the only wardrobe person that I've ever seen that drives a motorcycle and brings her outfits from location to location on her motorcycle.
Because she's got three hangers. Got three hangers, and they always work.
And the woman doesn't steam his clothes because it's just flying in the wind.
And they're supposed to be kind of dirty. Like, he's supposed to kind of look like he's enjoying the food.
Yeah.
And boy, does he.
I mean, there's so many flames on it. You know, some of those flames are just imprints from the Harley.
And all those sunglasses she gets him. She keeps it always different.
Well, she does keep it always different.
You know what's crazy? Can I talk to you guys about something?
Anything, man.
Anything. Always. Of course.
The high you feel when you found a Flavor Town. When you know Guy is about to enter a Flavor Town.
Yeah.
Nothing's like
that. Does everyone remember their first Flavor Town?
I remember
mine too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's
I'm
hear
glad
him.
We all remember.
Yeah, do we want to talk about him or not?
I remember.
No, this is kind of a quiet memory for me.
Let's all take a second and remember them quietly.
Flavortown memories, they're not much to talk about. They're just
it's kind of you went to a diner and it tasted good.
But you never
forget your first.
It's kind of like it's kind of like describing a color. You know what I mean? How do you do it? How do you describe?
My mouth is getting all watery just thinking about it.
Clem, can I ask you something? And I feel like I should know the answer to this, but what can I say? I'm a bad friend. How old are you?
Huh?
How old are you?
Me? Oh, man, it's been, a decade of fun plus another decade. And before that, I was a server. And then before that, I feel like I'm 50 to 60.
God.
Okay. Oh, but you don't know.
Did working in the field mines of the war mines of Boca de Beppo really do that to you?
Yeah, when you work those shifts, sometimes those double shifts, it's like being in a cave with no light. Your body just goes into some weird homeostasis state. Yeah. You come out 48 hours later going, "What the hell happened?" You know? Yeah. But yeah, I'm ballpark
50 to 60. Did you ever go into
60.
One of those Boca de comas that I keep hearing about?
Yeah. What's that?
It's when you work three double shifts in a row and then you have to go to the hospital.
Oh, yeah. We called it something different back in the day.
I think
it sounds like a Saturday in Flavortown.
Do you guys... I had a friend who served at Abuka. I heard that you guys suffered from PTSD.
Who was that friend?
Do you know Smiley Surfer?
No. Smiley?
Yeah, no. PTSD. They say PTSD stands for pasta, tiramisu, sauce, and decaf coffee.
That's exactly what I went through. Yeah. Smiley seems like a good guy. Yeah,
you know, I heard there are support groups for something like, yeah, there's like an AA for that.
No, I won't do
Amazing,
it.
Amazing, a rabiata.
You guys know my rule, though. No hospitals.
No rehab.
No rehab.
You're not getting better.
Do not resuscitate me if I go.
I've signed it. I've signed it, man. You don't have to bring
it
up.
Oh, you got your rules.
We've all signed it.
You got your rules that you stick to.
Oh, hold on, you guys. There's a chef on the side of the road.
I'm not going to stop.
We got to
stop. No, guys. I'm not going to stop, and I'll tell you why. I'm not going to stop, and I'll tell you why.
Fucking tell me, you
look,
prick.
Did you look in the bucket he had behind him? There was a fishing pole in it.
Nah, you never know.
Was that fisherman. It was that fisherman, and I know it.
Damn, because he looked so enticing. It looked like somebody I trust to make a rack of ribs.
I'll tell you what. I did not believe in the devil before I met that fisherman.
Yeah, turn around.
No.
I've been dying to use Johnny Pastrami's shotgun.
Shoot the fisherman.
We will
He's
not
worth it.
We will not shoot him.
No, guy knows all the Supreme Court judges. I'll be fine.
He does, doesn't he? He knows all.
He's a great friend with all eight.
Yeah. Remember when we went to Bob's Big Boy with Sonia Sotomayor?
She guzzled that burger down.
Why did we cut that episode? I don't even remember.
It was legal.
Oh,
her
let's
team
talk about favorite episodes we cut.
Oh, well, it was because we played that music that we didn't have a license.
Because we played Poker Face.
As she was guzzling down that double Big Boy.
Yeah, it was just so Sotomayor going pop, 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 Poker Face, pop, pop, Poker Face.
What about milkshake battles with Condoleezza Rice?
I love that episode.
God.
We used Poker Face in that shit too.
We gotta talk to our music guy. Using Poker Face.
Guy and Condoleezza go to a dive, and they both make milkshakes and compete which one's better. And guess who got to try both of them? Yeah, it's Clammy Boy.
Well, the answer never came out because we didn't air it. You want to tell us whose was better?
Let's just say Condoleezza added a little something dumb. She lost.
She added gum? Is that what you said?
Dumb.
Dumb.
Oh, because she lost.
She did. She ended up adding gum. It does not work in milkshakes. Stuck in the blades. Yeah.
You know, I just realized something. I think Dick Cheney may have played Poker Face on purpose to stop us from airing that hash episode where he spilled all those state secrets.
Yeah.
I tried to figure
admitted that
out.
He actually shot his friend on purpose, right?
Yeah. It was the intent that was...
I couldn't figure... I didn't know if that was because a guy was dating Gaga at the time. I know that there was the lady because I saw a lot of
girl
stuff.
Were taking a break. It
him
was
and girl
rough.
Were on the outs.
Do you remember? Do you remember all the tabloids? Lady Gaga, they would call it.
Oh yeah,
Lady
yeah, that was
Guy
their,
Guy.
That was their.
We couldn't get through an airport because they're yelling, "Lady Gaga," and we're trying to find our fucking baggage claim.
We're trying to find two different flights because we have to fly
separately. We have to fly separate. So there's us and Clam.
We couldn't get through the airport to find our baggage claim. Clearly, we got it on the flight, and we got to the next place. We just couldn't find the baggage claim.
I mean,
I swear, we got blinders when it comes to finding baggage claims. I cannot see a damn thing.
And they're always losing my bag of loose clam chowder.
You know I think the listeners would be interested in? Is when we go on hiatus and we all fast.
Oh, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Guy demands it of the whole crew.
If he says, if I don't eat, you don't eat.
And he does not eat.
It's to cleanse our grease palate, right?
Yeah.
That's what he says?
Yeah, and at first I thought, you know, that's a little inhumane. That sounds like an overstep, but... When you endure years and years of what this stuff does to your stomachs, you need a break.
Yeah.
I could tell my stomach was saying, thank you. I don't want to work anymore.
Well, do you guys remember back in the day? I mean, before I started my decade of fun, I remember thinking there was only one flavor of grease. And now I know the intricacies. I am like a sommelier for grease. I swear to God. I feel like I know.
Vintage.
Yeah, I know where the grease is from.
You
I know
can tell
kind of
a shrimp grease from a hash grease from a rib
absolutely.
Grease.
Yeah.
I can tell when it's hair grease added, you know?
Yeah, and I don't like when that happens.
We call the martini shot the grease shop, because when we call rap on each episode, guy has us dip something in the grease.
Yeah.
Just to prove his power over us.
Anything you can...
That and the fast.
Truth that he's the boss.
But we love him. I mean, we
love
the love guy.
Him.
Great guy.
We are loyal.
We love the guy.
I'm so glad he's not dating Gaga anymore. That was hell.
That was really stressful.
Well, let's get into a little bit of the goss. Because I've been wondering, Johnny, I know you get up to stuff after we rap, you little pastrami boy. What do you do after rap?
Yeah, so people should know, out of the crew here and the field producers, I'm the guy who fucks.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, with a name like Johnny Pastrami.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're fucking.
How do you not?
Usually, any town we're in, I can probably find a casino.
What's crazy to me?
That is nuts. That is, you have an uncanny ability to find even
casino.
The most secret
underground.
Are those two things related to you? You fucking a lot and finding casinos?
Let me tell you, they go hand in hand for me. Remember when I found a casino in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah,
that was wild. That was like in a senator's house, right?
And tell me your secret. Is it Yelp?
Oh, it's Yelp.
Can't believe they put that stuff on Yelp. Those casinos, those Seattle casinos are illegal for sure.
But my question for you, Johnny, because what's funny to me is you use straight up pickup lines. Like, I don't see people use pickup lines like you do.
No, he's the king of the pickup line.
Throw some pickup lines down for us, Johnny.
Oh,
when you go
God.
Up to ladies
moves.
In the casino. Yeah.
They're dirty.
All right, so here I am. We're in Washington, D.C. I'm rolling a couple motherfucking dice. I see a girl in purple, and purple always gets me horny.
Oh, you're like a bull.
And I see her, and I go, give me a second.
Okay, oh, no worries. Yeah, sorry.
I go, we're in Washington, D.C., head of state. Will you give me head?
Damn. That's good.
That is good.
That's
I tell you what, if I were a dame sitting by you as you were rolling those dice, I would be panties dropping within seconds.
We're in Washington, D.C., head of state. Will you give me head? I got to write that down. I always fumble the bag.
I'll give you some.
Mousy, you're always fumbling the bag.
I always fumble the
bag.
He
is the best wingman I've ever had.
Oh, so.
Mousy?
When Derek and I broke up,
that was awesome.
Johnny,
so sorry about that.
It was pretty bad.
What a brutal divorce.
It was rough. Johnny Pastrami had me in the bar just going for it. Just picking up girls and boys and...
What were some of the lines he gave you?
He gave me this line. Well, this is when we were in Tulsa. And
I remember I had you memorize it the night before.
Yeah, he gave me a script. He sent me a script. And I made a couple tweaks and then I sent it back. And then he said, no, it was good as is. So he sent it back. And so I memorized
you
it.
You really got to get in a writer's room, Kendra.
We really got to get you staffed. We got to get you staffed, Kendra.
I'm sorry. I just want to punch things up sometimes, but I know it's not where I'm destined to be. But I walked up to this guy, and I said, hey, I know we're in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but I'm pretty okay with you giving me some head.
A classic Johnny Pastrami line.
And then Johnny Pastrami wrote in, he wrote, like, in the script, it was listed as pause, and then another line that said, you know, because that's your postal abbreviation, okay? But I didn't say that part because I got so flustered, and it was also because he walked away.
That was when I was taking online classes at UCB, and I learned to justify. And I had to justify why I was doing this Okla joke. So I had to explain it.
And I laughed when I read the script. Just for the record, I laughed. I liked it as is, but...
Johnny, would you recommend UCB classes? Did you like it?
No, I didn't get head once.
Not once? Not once?
No.
Not once?
I think you were doing it wrong.
All right. I think we're pulling
not
up.
Once?
Looks like we're
I
pulling up.
I got so much head at Groundlings. You guys don't even know.
Let me tell you something. iOS before it closed.
All right. Looks like we're pulling up to this this fried chicken slammer.
Oh, what are any predictions?
This place looks greasy.
No.
Is it good greasy or bad greasy?
I'll let my tongue decide.
Okay. We're not eating yet. Close your mouth, man. Don't drool in my car.
Yeah, stop eating the air around the restaurant.
You gotta taste the air sometimes to taste the food.
I don't want to put a damper on any of this, but when I did the pre-interview, I gotta say that the owner gave me kind of the heebie-jeebies.
What happened?
Oh, in what way?
Just a real, like, long pauses between the question being asked and then him responding. I'd be like, so what's your signature dish? 2, 3, 4, chicken sliders. But he didn't seem happy about it either, so I just don't know how this will play.
God, I hate chicken sliders. What a gross meal.
Oh, interesting, Johnny.
You think it's gross?
I hate it worse than when I go somewhere and I don't get head.
Johnny, you're showing off. You're showing off again. You love
now
chicken
I'm showing
sliders.
Off. Now, Mouse, why don't you fucking shove your ass down my
Johnny,
throat?
Johnny, don't be mean.
Johnny,
hey,
did you have one Johnny. Of your car espresso martinis again?
All right, I got to get out of here and take a shit in this restaurant.
All right, Johnny.
All right, Johnny's out.
Johnny jumped out the window. He runs fast. We'll pick him up.
He'll come back. It's that. That's that Johnny Pastrami classic martini jog.
Oh, you guys. I wouldn't want to be doing this with anybody else.
What's the third thing we do again? Dine-in, dives, and...
Diners, drive-ins, and dives.
Drive-ins and dives.
Clem,
oh,
I'm
no.
worried about
all
your brain.
All that grease is going to your memory.
Let me tell you something. I've been losing more memories, but then I find some memories, and I just sit in it for a while.
Could I ask you guys something? Fuck, marry, kill, diners, drive-ins, dives.
Fuck me. Oh, good question.
Yeah, you know I'm fucking a dine-in.
Dine-in?
What? Oh, Clem.
No, diners, drive-ins, and dives.
Dine-in
was
not
an option. Dine-in was not an option.
You know I'm fucking a diner.
Okay.
I'm killing a dive.
Okay.
You know what? I marry the dive. That's why I got into this business. I fuck a diner. I kill the drive-in. Sorry.
Yeah, I kill the drive-in because base camp usually needs to be at the other side.
Oh.
And I hate walking.
Yeah.
I'm fucking a diner because that's where my parents met and I love diners.
So you want to fuck there?
No, it's just...
Yeah, that feels like you would want to marry it, but, you know, to each their own.
And I marry a dive.
I would marry a drive-in because I like the open air. I would fuck a dive because that's quite a story and I'd kill a diner because... I've already married a diner before.
Oh.
My ex-wife.
Oh.
She was quite
a
diner.
She could eat.
Lots
she
of divorces. Everybody's been divorced in this car, right?
I think so.
I think the whole
we
crew.
Have.
Well, that's when your friendship really kicks off with Guy.
And I'm starting to wonder, you know, that is a very weird coincidence that all of us have been divorced at the exact moment that Guy Fieri comes into our lives.
That's interesting.
You guys think that's suspicious?
Well, I've been around Guy before, and he meets people, and he goes, he's all right, but I can't wait for him to get divorced. I think he swoops. He's a bit
but
of a swooper.
He doesn't even, like, he doesn't have any ulterior motive, really. Like, it doesn't
no.
seem like
well,
he just
what
wants
I think.
Everybody to himself.
This is my theory I've just been thinking about. Divorcees work the hardest. Right,
that's
they don't have anything
true.
They're going home to, and they need something to look forward to. So I think he kind of swoops in.
And
that's
we all—it's true. We all work hard.
I mean, I've had a decade of fun, and it started after my brutal divorce.
It always does.
You got to bottom out before you can have your decade of fun.
I signed
the. That's when I got in that skiing accident.
That's why you got that divorce, right?
Hey, that was after you submitted to SNL.
I thought that was a low blow after that man divorcing
no,
you after a ski
working.
Accident. Batman divorcing you because
leaving
you didn't know
you
how to ski.
Yeah, I broke my leg, and then he's like, I can't look at you the same way anymore.
That man's not a man.
That's
not
a man.
No, Derek is a piece of shit, but we don't have to talk about him. I hate giving him oxygen. Okay, what's you guys' favorite memory?
Ever? Just in general?
Yeah, so it could either be your favorite diner, drive-in, and dive, or just in general.
I would say, one, the blueberry pancakes in Minnesota that we got at Big Titty Marge's. Shit, that was amazing. And then in terms of just general favorite memory, my mother pushing me on the swing. 4 years old. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was cold, brisk, and I was just so happy and so full. So full.
Wow. I'm going to go with the chicken fried steak sandwich at Lizzie's Drive-In in Reno, Nevada. Wow. That was absolutely delicious. And then I'm going to go ahead and go with when my dad took me to SeaWorld when I was 7.
Mm. Wow.
I didn't know kind of the horrors of the world or even what would happen at a SeaWorld at that point. But just the magic of being with my dad before, you know, before it all went to shit. It was just really beautiful. And
I hate to bring it up, but didn't you go, this is the first time that you went to SeaWorld, because the second time when you were 11, he got killed.
Yeah, it was the first time.
So I go bacon wrapped donut, and my
where?
Daughter's
where's that
first
bacon
wrapped
donut
from where?
Oh, that was from Sally's Donuts, in Idaho. Mm.
And your daughter.
Anyway,
and
sorry to cut you off. Were you saying something?
Your daughter's first steps.
No.
Oh yeah, she took them. It was nice.
Mm. I'd have to go mashed potato ice cream in Chatsworth, and. First time I walked into a casino.
How old were you?
2.
You walked into the casino.
I had you walked right in. You got a taste for this stuff.
I had long legs.
All right, well,
all right, well, we got to pull up to this restaurant. We got to get to work.
Oh, this looks like a nice... Wait.
Oh,
do
no.
you see a fishing hook?
How did he get here? So maybe that chef on the side of the street wasn't the fisherman.
Turn around.
Flavor Town.
This has been an Artist on Artist on Artist on Artist answering the question. Now that's what they call it, show business. Mm-hmm. See you next week.
Hi, I'm Angela Gerritana.
I'm Jeremy Colhane.
I'm Patrick McDonald.
And I'm Kylie Brakeman. Artists on Artists on Artists on Artists is an improvised Hollywood Roundtable podcast available on iTunes and Spotify.
You can follow us at AOAOAOAPod on Twitter and Instagram.
That's right, 4 A's with 3 O's in between, then pod.
Music for this week's episode was provided by Gabriel Ponton.
Stars, they're just like us. And if you like this episode, you can give us 5 of them by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts. That's all for now. Good night, Hollywood.